Welcome to this week's edition of the Marlena Program. Heard at this time each week on ACB Radio Mainstream, I am Marlena. And the theme song is called Marlena, written by ACB Radio's Managing Director, Chrissy Cochran. We're going to have a great show for you tonight. Fasten your seatbelts, put your feet up, and get ready, because I am honored to have with me tonight the three ACB presidential candidates. So come on in. Like I said, buckle your seatbelt, and let's get ready for a great program on this week's Marlena. All right. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, depending on where in the great universe you are. Want to let you know what's going to happen here tonight, in case you haven't yet heard. As I said in the introduction, we have the three ACB presidential candidates joining us tonight, and we already have a call on hold, so we will be getting to calls as soon as possible, but we're going to ask that caller to be patient and bear with us while we get the show rolling. Let me do a little bit of housekeeping here to get started. If you are listening to this program at any time other than 9 to 10 in the East, 6 to 7 in the West in North America, or 1 to 2 on a very early UTC Monday morning, you are listening to a repeat. So the number will not work for you. But if you are listening live during that time, please feel free to call us. The number to call is 866-666-7926. And with no further ado, let me bring in the three candidates. Hey, guys, welcome to Marlena.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Okay, good. You're all there. It's like taking attendance. Now, we've never quite done this on the program, and I want to thank President Chris Gray for setting up a conference call that makes this possible, because once I realized that there are three, I thought, oh dear, what am I going to do? So the candidates are on one line together, and oh my gosh. And let's bring our timekeeper in. Gary, the board guy, good evening.
Good evening.
Now, that is the voice of the time. And Gary will give you a, what, 15-second, 10-second, what?
Would you like a 10-second or a 15-second warning?
Okay, I'll vote. I'll give a 15-second warning.
15 works fine.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll make it 15.
All right. All right. So let's get started again. We do have a caller on hold, and if that caller will just kindly remain there, we'll get to you. You will be the first question. So let's get started with Eric Blair. I'd like to give you 2 minutes, Eric, to tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are. Ready?
First of all, I want to say thank you to Marlena and to her listening audience. Also to the candidate present, Carla Rochevoir and Mitch Pomeroy, and also ACB for its democracy. Well, I'm Eric Blair. I am a New Yorker and live in Brooklyn.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Okay, all right. All right. Moving on to Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch, go.
Well, thank you, Marlena, for having me on the show, and thank you, all of the listeners on ACB Radio. I am Mitch Pomerantz. Live in Pasadena, California. I am the Americans with Disabilities Act Compliance Officer for the City of Los Angeles. I've done that for 12 years. And prior to that, I spent 20 years in human resources for the City of Los Angeles, so I've been with the city for over 32 years. I've been a member of the American Council of the Blind since 1984. I have served on Resolutions Committee, Constitution and Bylaws Committee, elected to the Board of Publications in 1994, to the Board of Directors in 2000, and to Second Vice President in 2004. I actually do have hobbies outside of ACB. My wife Dawn and I do a lot of traveling. I am into sports. I'm in a fantasy football league, and for those of you outside this country, that means American football. And am very involved because of my work with the city in disability rights issues generally. I've been involved in a number of coalitions, both on the national level and within California, trying to move forward the rights of people with disabilities in a number of areas, my primary interest being the employment arena. So I hope that that gives kind of a snapshot, and I'm sure the other questions will bring out some of the other
15 seconds.
Key issues. So thank you very much.
All right. And Carla Rushival.
Hi, Marlena. I'm Carla Rushival. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. My first ACB convention was in 1965 when Kentucky was chartered as ACB's fifth affiliate. My children are members, and my grandchildren will be in Minneapolis, and we're a four-generation ACB family. I've served my state affiliate since 1974. I've been president three times, newsletter editor for 30 years. I've organized local chapters and recruited young people into our leadership. I played a major role in organizing the Guide Dog Users of Kentucky, and I serve on its board. My first ACB job was acting chair of credentials, and then I served on the ACB board between 1982 and 1990, and again from 2002 to the present. I belong to several special interest groups, Lions, Families, GDUI, Ivy, and Teachers. I've helped organize 13 national conventions, both on the, from the local host committee side and the national committee. Outside ACB, I'm a Lion, treasurer of the KSB Alumni Association, a 10-year member of AER, and active in my church. Professionally, I was a rehab counselor right out of college. I've been a licensed vendor for 3 years. I ran my own business for 5. And I've taught blind children and adults for over 30 years. I've coordinated an adult ed program for the blind, raised money, hired and supervised staff, scheduled activities, and coordinated the transportation. I'm a strong advocate for blind people. I've been personally involved in the Section 503 case and several EEOC cases, the privatization of Kentucky Industries for the Blind, and in a case regarding the rights of blind parents to raise their children, all successful, I might add. I'm a proven leader. I can listen. I've addressed problems, and I've been available by phone and email. I've worked with diverse groups equally and fairly, compromising when possible, but standing strong when necessary. I ask for your vote, and I welcome your questions.
All right. Thank you, Carla. Let's bring in our first caller. Let me explain how this will work with our callers. We will ask the caller to simply ask their question, and then we will disconnect so that we can then put a subsequent caller in your place. The candidates will each be given 1 minute to answer your call-in and email questions.
1 minute or two?
One. Okay. Hi there, caller. What's your question?
Hello, Marlena.
Yes.
My name is Jeff Bishop, and my question relates to ACB Radio. With the current issues with the budget of ACB, what do you see as ACB Radio's role in producing more or helping produce more funding, and what do you think...
Whoops, and we lost Jeff after what do you think. Okay, you want to tackle that question, Carla, first.
Yes, I think ACB Radio can play an absolutely vital role in helping to build funding for ACB and for ACB Radio, and I think it's a vital communication piece that absolutely must have strong support. I see the possibilities for funding through ACB Radio like I see the funding for the ACB convention. Between last year and this year in our convention, we started corporate sponsorships, and we had raised $13,000 last year, but we've raised over $70,000 this year in corporate sponsorships for the convention. ACB Radio was part of that. But I think that ACB Radio can do some of those similar, some similar things on their own.
15
seconds. I look forward to great things for ACB Radio in the future.
All right. Eric Blair, your turn.
Yes, I think that the radio is a wonderful way of communicating with the world. And funding, of course, is very necessary if this is going to be successful. I think we need to go a step beyond the computer because, as we all know, not everyone have access to a computer. So, therefore, if we could take this out into the regular radio where people with a portable radio in any part of the world can listen to, or until we have enough funds to expand, at least at the local level, because, as I said earlier, the computer is wonderful, but it's necessary to reach the people that do not have a computer and might not be at home at the time when to use the computer if this person is traveling on the road.
Time. Okay. Thanks, Eric. And Mitch Pomerantz, your answer.
Thank you. I think one of the most outstanding, maybe the most outstanding initiative that ACB has undertaken in the last several years has been ACB Radio. It has brought our philosophy, our organization to the listening audience around the world, and that certainly includes, you know, thousands of folks here in the United States. It is an invaluable tool. And I know that there have been discussions about sponsorships and beginning to lay the groundwork for ACB Radio to bring in funding, to get sponsorships. And we need, and the president of the organization needs to promote that and make sure that you have the necessary resources to keep that process going over the next few years.
All right, thank you. Hello, caller. What is your question, please? Hello?
Frank Casey from Albany. I'd like to ask each candidate, I know we have the Braille Forum and the various email lists, but I would like to know personally what each candidate plans to do if he or she is elected to communicate better with the ACB membership as a whole nationally.
Thank you. All right, Mitch, you're first.
Well, there are a number of initiatives. I don't know that I can get them all in a minute, but the first thing that I will do is to continue the office hours that I have maintained over the last several weeks, both by email and by telephone, allowing ACB members to speak with me directly. I will also include a member of the ACB board each time. I believe that that is a critical issue here, the communication between the rank-and-file membership and the ACB board and the president. We really need to do much more of that, and telephone and email work fantastically. I would also put out more frequent messages from the president and keep in contact with affiliate presidents, special interest affiliate presidents, and just open the lines of communication to make sure we have two-way communication on an ongoing and regular basis.
Thank you. Carla Rushville.
Increased communication between affiliates and the national organization is absolutely critical and crucial if ACB is going to grow and be strong in the future. I would want to do several things. First of all, as soon as possible, I want to see the Braille Forum restored to 12 issues a year. I think that's absolutely essential to communicating with everyone. Also, I would like to have some creative use of conference calling with legislative training, advocacy, and legislative workshops and town meetings and many other different things being done via conference calling so that every affiliate and every member can participate. I'd like to see the Washington Connection completely revamped and used in some real creative ways. There's many, many other ways to increase communication, and we need to get about the business of doing lots more communication both up and down the ACB pipeline.
Thank you. Eric Blair.
Thank you. I will initiate a program known as Ask the President, and this way anyone that might have a question or any issue, they're able to ask the president directly. In addition, the affiliate, of course, the essential, and I will have a program where I can meet with the affiliate president on a regular basis, but I will go beyond that. I think we have a lot of access to other way of communication other than the prayer forum, and we have other magazines for the blind, which I will make myself available to those magazines to be able to give reports to them for people that are not members of the Braille Forum.
Okay, thank you. I'm moving to the next question, and this is an email question. We do have a caller on hold. Caller, we will take you after the candidates answer this question. From Steve Bauer, if you could have lunch with one person, either living or deceased, to seek advice on how to make ACB better so that it could serve more people, who would that be? Eric Blair?
I will ask Dr. King, because he was a person that gave his life for the benefit of all mankind, and I'm sure that he has a lot to tell me what direction to go and how to do things, and I will ask him and tell him that this is a wonderful organization that I'm part of, and that we are in the process of being more globalized than before, and Dr. King
15 seconds.
Would be my, I would be like his student so that he can advise me as to, and give me the support that I need.
Time. All right, and I think we lost our caller, so if that person wants to call back, that's fine, and I think we just got our caller back. Mitch Pomerantz, what's your answer?
Having just reread People of Vision, no question, Durward McDaniel. Durward was the prime mover behind the creation of the American Council of the Blind. He stood up against tyranny in the Federation. He's the man that brought our California affiliate into ACB back in the early 80s. He brought so many other state and special interest affiliates to the organization. He would be the man that I would love to sit down and have lunch with, bend an elbow, because he was wont to do that, and chat about the state of ACB. Does he believe we are going in the right direction? If he doesn't believe we're going
seconds.
In the right direction, where do we need to change paths? What new direction do we need to take to get back to the kind of organization he envisioned when he started ACB?
And Carla Rushville.
Well, I too would choose Durward McDaniel. I first met Durward in 1965 at the 5th convention of ACB here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I will tell you, he was a very impressive person to me as a teenager and a person who I was so honored to get to know at that time. Through the 1970s, Durward and many others of us went to a number of activities and basically were recruiting for ACB. Durward is responsible for so many of us being in ACB that you look around, and even today, with so many new members coming in, there are still, many of them don't even realize
seconds.
They're there because of Durward. Durward would have so much to tell us, so much to counsel us, and he did many times when I was involved before, and I'd love to talk to him again.
All right, let's bring our caller in. Hello, caller, what's your question? Hello? It's your turn. One more time. Hello, it's your turn. Okay. The number to call is 866-666-7926. Let's look at an email question from Kimberly Carmichael. We just got a call. Let's bring the caller in. Hi there. What's your question?
Hi there, Carla. It's Chris Snyder calling. and hi to Mitch, and hi to Marlena, of course, and Eric.
Hello.
My question is, the NSB continually speaks as if they speak for all blind people, and they have the ear of the Washington politicians. It's obvious that they've got an amazing PR group, publicists and all that stuff, that, and they've got the connections in Washington to make that happen.
And I need you to get to your question, Chris.
Right, my question is, what kind of steps would you take to give ACB the same kind of footing in communicating with our country's political leaders as the people at the NSB?
All right, thank you. All right, Carla, your turn.
Well, first of all, I think that as in anything, there's positives and negatives in all things, and I tend to look at things as the glass is half full rather than the glass is half empty. I think our Washington staff, with the staff we have, do a great job, and Eric Bridges coming on is...
A House of Representatives member, we have U.S. senators, and we have the local politicians. Therefore, if the affiliates become very active even before an issue arises or a question is asked to call, I'm sure that we will have a better footing than what we have now, and we have to make it part of our being that our politicians are part of our organization and stay in touch at all times, not to wait for a crisis or for an issue to arise to start making phone calls.
Okay, Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, two things. We are a grassroots organization, and Tip O'Neill said all politics is local. We need to motivate our local members to be more in touch and bring the word, bring ACB's philosophy on issues and positions on issues to local Congress members, senators, and that message then gets filtered from there. We also, though, on the national level, I think we need a strong, viable public relations committee with a chairperson who knows how to deal with the media. That goes hand in hand with the great work of Melanie Brunson, our executive director, and our new director of governmental affairs. They can't do it alone, and our membership can't do it alone. It really is a two- or three-pronged effort to get the word about ACB.
Time.
Okay, thank you. We do have a caller on hold, and I'm going to go to an email question. Caller, you will be after this question. The question is from Kimberly Carmichael, and she writes, I would like to know what the candidates think of the idea of having a professional paid position on the ACB staff for a grant writer. Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, in fact, in my candidate statement, one of the first things I would do is to work with the budget committee of ACB, to work with the executive director to look at the feasibility of having a full-time, not just a grant writer, but a full-time fundraiser, somebody who would devote 75 to 80% of their time to going after those corporate and foundation grants, looking at sponsorships. Our resource development committee and others do an excellent job, but they can only do so much. They're volunteers, and their time is limited. We need to expand that effort by having someone in the ACB office who can promote that and utilize every opportunity that comes to us and actually go out and seek out those opportunities. So I believe that's very important.
Carla Rushville.
Well, Marlena, I've been a member of the Budget Committee since 2004, and staff dollars, like all other dollars, have been limited. But I think as soon as we can possibly afford to have a director of development, we should do so. And, of course, you have to spend money to make money. We have to keep in mind that a professional position is a $60,000-plus commitment, not counting the fringes. But as soon as we can afford that kind of thing, and that may be soon, we definitely need to look along those lines, because a person who can devote their time to seeking out corporate and grant type funding on a regular basis will be able to track those, to track the applications, to know where the funding sources are, and to just do a more coordinated job than we can do as volunteers.
Time.
Thank you. Eric Blair.
Well, I think that first I will look at the possibility of volunteers, because we have to be specific. Are we talking about grants for the organization, grants for a specific program, grants for individuals? And there are many people out there that are capable of writing for a grant, and they have to be reached out. We cannot only say that we don't have the money. We must look for those people that are, some of them are retired, they have the time, but if nobody brings this to attention or seek this, their services, we will not get them.
All right. We will be back with our caller in just one moment. A couple of little bits of business we need to do, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. All right, and the number to call is 866-666-7926. Hello, caller, what's your question?
Hello.
Yes.
Are you reading me?
We sure are.
Thank you. I would like to ask all the candidates, how did you vote, or how would have you voted, on excluding any corporation from exhibiting at convention in relationship to Resolution 9930 that is engaged in documented, disreputable, or dishonest business practices, and I specifically cite the case of MaxiAge, which has had several court cases, jury awards, and others. Verdicts against it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Eric, you're first.
You know, he does not have him start over.
I'm sorry. Eric, could you begin again, please?
Okay.
Go ahead.
The case of MaxiAge was not clear to me because there were some people that were against MaxiAge, and there were those that were for it. And when it comes to a corporation, before we vote, we will have a history of the corporation to decide whether this corporation is the type of corporation we want to be involved with. Therefore, we must investigate the corporation first before we make those decisions. Because we do not like certain companies, we will not immediately just decide that this company is not good for our organization.
All right. Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, while I know that there are a lot of people who come to conventions who frequent MaxiAge, I believe ACB has a reputation to uphold, and the charges that MaxiAge was found guilty on, I thought, were so heinous that on both occasions, when this matter came to the ACB Board of Directors and an ad hoc committee reviewed those charges and a lot of documentation, I voted not to permit MaxiAge to attend and to exhibit at the convention, both the first time when the board voted and when I was in the majority, and then the second time when there was a vote to reconsider and when we lost that vote, and so Maxie Aids was allowed to exhibit. But I believe they should not have exhibited, and that was how I voted both times.
Thank you. Carla Rushville.
Yes. I take the opposite view of Mitch on this. I feel that that the case involving Maxie Aids and the situations that were involved did not directly involve ACB or our members.
Now departing.
Oh.
Carla Rushville.
Oh, dear. Carla has become disconnected. Okay. I don't know what we do in that circumstance. You know what? Let me just do a little bit of my housekeeping here and remind folks that, you're listening to the Marlena program. And, if you are listening at any time other than the hours of, 9 to 10 in the East, 6 to 7 in the West, 1 to 2 on a Sunday night and 1 to 2 on an early UTC Monday morning, you are listening to a repeat and just enjoy. And the telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. And I was hopeful that Carla would be able to get back in the meantime, and she has not been able to do that. This is live radio at its best, kids.
Getting caught flat-footed is what it's called.
This is when you have to vamp.
Let me see. Vamp, vamp, vamp. Because I don't want to start another question, and I want... here she is.
Carla Rushville.
Oh, Miss Carla, you stopped my heart there.
And stopped mine, too, let me tell you.
Carla, if you can pick it up in mid-thought, you have about 30 seconds left.
All right. I believe that in the regard to people who exhibit at the convention, that ACB does not look into the background of any exhibitors who come in that hall. It is not our practice to look with a fine-tooth comb at any of them. And so I voted for Maxie Aids to return simply because we did not have a procedure in place to look at the backgrounds of the other, in this case, this year.
Time. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
And just, you know, in fairness to you, Carla, go ahead and finish your sentence because I think you did become disconnected, and I want to make sure you get the last of that thought out. So just finish your sentence.
Okay. Well, I don't think that, for example, in the case of this year, that of the 85 booths in that room, that we have the ability or the policy to look into all of their backgrounds.
All righty. Great. Thanks so much. All right. Let's take our call. Hi there, caller. Thank you for waiting. Wait. I'm sorry, caller. Hang on. I didn't flip the card. Eric. No, we got Eric, Gary. Gary's scaring me here. Go ahead, caller.
Okay.
Yes, I'd like to ask the candidates about what their goals would be for the first 30 days, the first 6 months, and at 360 days of their tenure.
All right. So the first 30 days, the first 6 months, and then the first 365 days of their tenure?
Right, where we'd like to be.
All right. Thank you. Eric, you're first.
Well, of course, the first few days of the 30 or 60 or 90 days, there's a process of a transitional period. I expect to meet with those that have the power now so that it could be a peaceful, orderly transition. And a year from now, ACB will be at the around the world better known because this president will make himself accessible and viewable, where I will be going not only to ACB radio and computer, although it's a wonderful problem, but I will also go to the other medias so that they know that ACB exists.
All right. Thank you. And Mitch Pomerantz, I've been cheating you out of going first, so I'm going to fix that, but it's your turn.
Well, the first 30 days, I would have to work. The first thing would be working with my executive committee and the board to put my committees together. That is a very time-consuming job, and in our Constitution and bylaws, we have certain time frames. So the first 30 days, I'm putting our committees together with input from my executive committee and my board. The next 6 months, I hope that we can find a way to have our director of development in place, because we will be coming up on a new budget cycle later this year. So that would be the second priority, to try and have that position at least ready to be recruited for by January 1st of 2008. Now, third priority after a year would be to have lines of communication wide open between the president, the board, and the membership, as in some of the things we've already talked about, so that there is free communication back and forth.
All right, great. Carla Rushival.
Okay, well, I think there's a lot of things that have to be done simultaneously, and it's very difficult to put them on a calendar. However, I think within the first 30 days, it would be important to at least hold one call that would be a sort of a town meeting, a call where people could let the president know what their goals would be for the coming year and the coming ACB. Also, I would consult the affiliate presidents for recommendations for committees, and I would hope to have all those committees in place within 90 days. I want more than just the existing leadership involved in committees and committee appointments. I also would want to work with staff for an orderly transition, get a lot of their ideas and see where they are, even though I know some things I don't know at all.
Okay. Oh, you ended right there. Okay.
Well, I thought he said my time was
up. No,
I'm
he
sorry.
Said 15 seconds. Go ahead.
And I would also within the first year like to see some significant additional movement on fundraising. I'd like to see an additional thrift store development, as well as many other areas of fundraising, the MMS program and others.
Okay. Let's see. I think I've gotten all three of you. All right. We have a call holding. I'm going to try to summarize this email question because it is fairly lengthy, and I don't want to take the time to read the whole question because we have so many calls. But it is from Christine McDonald, who describes herself as an ex-offender who is no longer on parole and who subsequently has lost her eyesight and had both eyes removed, and she feels as though she has two disabilities, one being an ex-offender, the other being a person without sight. And she wants to know what the candidate's view of ex-offender rights is. Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, we, in our office, in our department, we deal with a lot of folks who are former substance abusers, ex-offenders of various kind. You know, you have served your time, and we welcome you as an active member of the American Council of the Blind. And because we are such a grassroots organization, I would hope you would get involved with your local affiliate and try to get as involved as possible. And we, in turn, have a responsibility to work with you to try and make sure that if you are not getting the rights that you believe you are entitled to, since you're now not on parole any longer, that your affiliate would assist you. And if not, then we have a responsibility on a national level to try and provide whatever assistance we can.
Carla Rushival.
Yeah, Marlena, this is a situation that really, really can come up and that is very important. I can understand how Christine feels, and I would certainly hope that her local affiliate would welcome her in. I hope her state affiliate welcomes her in. I can certainly say that ACB would welcome her. And I think that also I'm sure that she would need advocacy help. And as I have said so many times, advocacy is the life of ACB. We have got to be able, on whatever level, to help the individual people who need that help, whether it be a call to a food stamp office, or whether it be going down and standing in court with them, or whatever it is, we need to be there and be involved and extend that helping hand.
Eric Blair.
Thank you. Oh, yes, the fact that you are ex-offender, that word is itself right there states that that's ex, that's the past. So you cannot carry that as a, on your shoulders. That's a burden. No, you, that's an ex-offender. The fact that you are blind and your eyes are removed, life does not end there. You need to advocate for yourself. You must go to school, get an education, apply for jobs, and never stop asking or looking for what you want. No matter if some people try to offend you because you committed a crime in the past, that's the past.
15 seconds.
Therefore, a lot or most of it depends on you. You have to know what you want, and the doors are there. Some of them are very difficult to open, but it's up to you
time.
To open
okay.
those doors.
Thank you, Eric. Let's bring our caller in. Thank you so much for waiting. Caller, what is your question?
Frank Sr.?
Yes, go ahead, Frank.
I'm 54 years old now, and I was wondering, what can we do? How can we do a better job in reaching out to the young, younger generation? Unfortunately, the NFB is seems like
okay,
cornering the market.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So the question is, what can we do to what can we do to reach out
to the younger,
generation? Great.
Bringing them aboard.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Bye bye. All right, Mitch Pomerantz. I'm going to let you go first again.
All right. We need to provide the resources, the materials that our state and local affiliates can use, because they're there on the college campuses, community college and four-year college campuses. They are in the best position to reach out and attract the students, but we on the national level have to provide the materials. We have to be encouraging. We have to encourage students with our democracy. The younger folks are getting more interested in politics again after not being so interested for a while. We need to provide those resources so that the younger people understand that ACB does believe in democracy, and we also need to be welcoming, provide activities and programs that pique their interest and want to make them a part of ACB.
Thank you. Eric Blair.
Yes, I will go a step further. I think we should start earlier than that, from the time children are going to elementary school, and start from there and let them know that the schools and our affiliates have to get into the position where they are able to communicate with their members and be concerned with all the issues.
Now departing.
The young people of today, they have access to many other avenues or venues. Therefore, at a local level, we have to get into the schools and let them know that all schools have special ed and they have blind children.
And I'm going to have to call time. I'm sorry I missed your 15 second there.
Okay. It's your time is up.
Okay.
Yeah. And Carla got disconnected again. Darn it.
I got distracted. And I'm sorry, Eric. I apologize for that. I got distracted because Carla got knocked off again. So.
Yeah. So we're going to just, we're just going to wait a second.
Pay closer attention to my watch and not listen to the background.
Well, it is a little disconcerting. And I know sometimes these conference call systems do that. So I'm sure Carla is trying to get back in again. And we will vamp again, right, Mitch?
Oh yeah. The worst is when you do a live show and your guest doesn't show up.
That has happened. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, I don't know. Are you a good vamper?
Excuse me?
Are you a good vamper?
We'll find somebody to put a microphone on the floor and somebody else can do a tap dance.
Yeah. You are listening to the Marlena program. We do have the three presidential candidates on live.
No, we don't. We only have two.
We have two on live.
We hope to have three. Gosh, I'm not quite sure what to do about this, really. This is, I really want to hold off as long as we can. Good.
Carla Vegetable.
All right, girlfriend, you're back.
I'm telling you, I think the phone gremlins had me tonight.
What is going on in Kentucky, I tell you? Well, it just so happens that it's your turn to answer the question about attracting the younger generation into the organization. So go.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I want to do, and one of the very first things that I will do, is to create a task force on the recruitment and retention of young people and general membership in ACB. We have got to address those issues because that's our lifeblood for tomorrow. On today's level, however, my husband and I have gone to Indianapolis, and we have been working with a group of Leos that are coming to ACB from the Indiana School for the Blind. There are six of them, and those are six young people in high school that are coming to see what we are like and what we're doing. They're going to be spending 6 days there. In addition, the Kentucky Council of the Blind has young people in our leadership, and I have worked to develop that leadership. And we actually have a president of one of our local affiliates who is a graduate from 2004. So young people are an essential part of our organization, and we all need to get in there, work together, and get that job done.
All right. We have an email question, and then we'll get to our caller who is holding. So if the caller will please hold. From Don Horn, What distinguishes you from the other candidates running for president of the American Council of the Blind? Carla?
Well, for 13 conventions, I have worked with people on an individual basis. I have planned activities, put together functions, worked with the special interest groups. I've gotten to know each of them on a one-on-one basis. I also have had an opportunity to work with individual members to meet their individual needs. And as a member of the board over the years and as a member of ACB for the past 30 plus, almost 40 years, I have heard a lot of discussion among members, and I think that my concern for the individual membership and the fact that I have been there makes me very, very good as a candidate for president. When people talk about they can't come to convention or they don't have much money at convention, I can identify with that because I've come to convention on a shoestring. When they talk about they need to know more about advocacy or they need to know more about this or that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And Mitch.
Thanks.
Well, I have, as I said at the outset, 32 years experience working in government. I have worked with staff, with members of city council, department heads, elected officials of all stripes. I've lobbied both in Sacramento and in Washington, D.C. I have a breadth of supervisory and management and leadership experience, which I think the president of ACB must have in this day and age in order to work appropriately with the board of directors. Additionally, I'm involved in state and national ACB groups, and I communicate with everyone. I'm kind of a populist. I listen to everybody, and what I think I have, what I bring is an objectivity that the president must have.
Okay, Eric.
Well, basically, I don't think there's much difference between the three candidates because our objective is to enhance ACB as an organization, make it globalize ACB. I believe in advocacy. That's my primary concern. I believe that the affiliates is where the future lies, because if the affiliates get involved and mobilize in their state, in their city, in their community, then we will be a stronger organization. Human capital is one of the capitals that is less used. We have all type of capitals, but the human capital is the one that is less used. And as president, I will try to use that
capital.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Hello, caller. What's your question? Hello?
I think all of us know that unemployment is one of the most important issues that face blind people in the United States. And I'm wondering if your candidates this evening could comment on what they think are the primary causes of the continuing unemployment rate and what they think an organization like ACB can do and they as president can do to make a change in this regard.
Thank you. All right. Mitch, you're first.
Well, there are a number of reasons for our high unemployment rate, but one of them is that the myths and stereotypes that people have about blindness. Blindness is still, outside of cancer and AIDS, the disability that most people, that people fear most. What we have done over the past 5 years, we established, and I was I started it, and I've been the chair, our Employment Issues Committee. We are a committee of ACB. We put on a workshop for our members. We usually get somewhere between 40 and 50 people to come every year. We have speakers. We talk about the job market. We talk about the things that people need to know to get employed. And I believe we must expand those efforts beyond the convention. But ACB has addressed employment issues. Employment is one of my primary issues of concern, and we will continue to promote it.
Okay. Eric Blair.
Yes, I will. Once again, I go back to the affiliate because that's where the people are. And the first order of business I would suggest to the affiliate president is to discuss among that group who is not employed and then branch out from there. There are unions that we could get in touch with to let them know that we as a blindness community have people that are qualified to do the work. Today, with the advanced technology that we have, there's no reason why so many blind people should be unemployed. The main thing that I think is that we have been too passive as affiliates when it comes to certain issues. We have to go out there and let the people in our community and other state that we are willing and able to do work.
Thank you, Eric. Carla Rushville.
Marlena, I got a phone call the other day from a lady, a mother in eastern Kentucky who was so worried about her daughter. Her daughter graduated from college a couple of years ago, and she's been looking for a job ever since. Her degree is in computer science, and she lives in a part of Kentucky where she has no transportation to any kind of job. There is virtually no hope for the girl where she lives now. And it's unfortunate, but because of transportation, not because of lack of skills or lack of desire, lack of wanting to work, she is virtually unemployable in her community. There is just nothing in that community for her at this time. Unfortunately, there's not real good support from the state agency in that community either because of lack of resources. We need to look at all of these issues and deal with them on a regular basis.
All right, thank you. We will be with our next caller in just a moment after this little break. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. All right, and you are listening to the Marlena program. If you're listening anytime between the hours of 10 and 11 in the East, 7 to 8 in the West on a Sunday night in North America, or 2 to 3 on a very early UTC Monday morning, you've got us live. Please feel free to give us a call at 866-666-7926. If you're listening at a time other than that, it's repeat, and just put your feet up, fasten your seatbelt, and enjoy the ride. Let's bring our next caller in. Hi there, you're with Marlena and the ACB presidential candidates. What's your question?
Hi, it's Sue Amateur.
Hello.
Okay, my question is, what strategies do you have in mind for improving and enhancing what I think is the most valuable thing, our advocacy services for the blind people of our nation?
Thank you. Thank you, Sue. All right, let's see. Carla, you're up first. Carla? Did we lose Carla again?
Oh,
dear.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Oh,
I
that's... okay. Okay, did you catch the question?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you are first.
All right. Okay. I'm really glad that we have a new advocacy person in Eric Bridges. I think that's an absolutely important thing, crucial. But I'm also glad that we have an advocacy committee. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. And that committee needs to be expanded to include people from every state who can participate in an active way in every affiliate. You know, advocacy is something that is an individual thing. And the advocacy committee needs to be made up of a strong team of people who can go into action on various subjects in a very short period of time. Most advocacy efforts don't need to be addressed 6 months from now.
15 seconds.
They need help today or tomorrow or next week. And to put them off while the wheels grind slowly is just not a good thing for a membership organization that's such as ACB.
All right. Thank you. Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, the first thing that would help the advocacy committee would be more available fiscal resources so that we can handle some of the cases that come in directly with attorneys who are knowledgeable in particular fields. So, you know, increasing our fiscal resources will help the advocacy effort. But the other thing that will help would be education, developing a stronger cadre of persons, not just people who are on the advocacy committee, but persons in every state who know the ADA, who know transportation, who know SSI, who know Medicare and their own state programs. So we can enhance our advocacy efforts by seminars, by workshops, online, offline, to get our people in every state of the union knowledgeable and able to advocate on their local and state
and
levels.
Thank you. Eric Blair.
Yes, advocacy is an ongoing issue. When we're going to advocate, we will not hesitate because issues are always present. Whether you look for them or not, they're always present. It might be small to some people, but for that person that had that particular issue, it's big. But we will not hesitate when we're going to advocate. They are, once again, go back to the affiliates. We must be more aggressive when it comes to advocacy. And as I said before, not to hesitate to advocate. It is an ongoing issue.
15 seconds.
We must deal with issues as they come and not be into the hesitation mode because it is a real problem that we have and people want organization that will help.
Okay, thank you. We have a caller on hold. We're going to take an email question and then the caller's question. This is from Jake Giel. I believe I'm pronouncing that name correctly, of Illinois. My question is twofold. First off, has there ever ever been a time when both the Illinois Council of the Blind and the NFB of Illinois have worked together to eliminate the seemingly ongoing problems with the Bureau of Blind Services? If not, do any of you foresee a time when this will be possible? Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, I don't, you know, I can't speak for what's happened in Illinois. I suspect that if things were serious enough there, that the presidents would work together if at all possible. I can tell you that in California, the two organizations worked together to pass a piece of legislation that established a separate division for the blind within the Department of Rehabilitation. You know, I have to say that we have our advocacy efforts to deal with, and we have never in California excluded the other blindness organization. We work together on occasion.
15 seconds.
And where that's feasible, where they're willing to participate and be a part of the efforts we're involved with, that's fine. I wouldn't preclude it. I wouldn't say it's likely to happen on a regular basis, however.
All right, Eric Blair.
Well, I think it'd be a wonderful thing or idea if NFB and ACB will do things together, but the main thing with the two organizations is that they're two separate philosophies. Therefore, no matter what happened, there's going to be a contradiction with one or the other. And that should not be our area of concentration. We should concentrate the direction that we want to go. And if somebody put a block in the road, that should not stop us, because our strength will make us continue going. Therefore, NFB, ACB, two separate organizations with different philosophy, and when we concentrate on that and do what we have to do for ourselves as the organization, everything is...
All right. Thank you, Eric. Carla Rushville.
Jake, I don't know specifically about the Illinois situation, but I can tell you that in 1996, the governor of Kentucky at that time decided he was going to do away with the Kentucky Department for the Blind. The president of the NFB of Kentucky, Betty Nicely, at that time, and I, who was president of KCB, got together on the telephone, and we decided that was not going to happen, and we were going to create an ad hoc committee of not only the Federation and the Council, but other entities within the community. To make a long story short, we had 125 people in Frankfurt 2 days later to demonstrate against the governor's new policy. If they wrote in the Courier Journal the next day that the governor stood in the midst of the tumult in his office. And 6 weeks later, the governor's press secretary called us and said, what will it take to call off the troops? They dropped that discussion right there, and we have had no problems since.
All right. Thank you. Let's bring our caller in. Hello, caller. What is your question? Hello, caller.
Hi, Marlena.
Yes.
Hi, this is Aaron Ross from Nevada.
Yes, and what is your question, Aaron?
How are you?
Great.
My question is to all three of the candidates. I know that some schools that, you know, that train guide dogs, as in the Oregon. Where'd you go, Marlena? Oregon to get Agnes there?
Well, yeah, but let's just let you ask your question, Eric.
All righty. Some schools that train guide dogs are training dogs to use for wheelchair users. Is there a way, or if you guys do not know of a way that they could train a guide dog for a walker, because that's what I use.
Okay, you know what? I think that's an excellent question, but it's not really a question that the candidates should probably be asked. But are you coming to convention?
When When is it, Marlena?
Well, it's next week.
But oh, is it?
Yeah. You know what, though? Sheila Styron is the president of the Guide Dog Users Incorporated affiliate. And if you go to gdui.org on the web, and you should send her an email and see if she can get that kind of information for you. How's that?
And
you know what? I'm going to need to run, I'm afraid, because I'm really only allowing one question per person.
All righty.
Thanks so much for calling, though, Aaron, and call me again.
All right, Marlena.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And the number to call is 866-666-7926. And we have a call. Let's take that call immediately. Hello, caller, and what is your question? Hello there.
Yeah, hello. This is Ron Melloman.
Oh, I was just going to read your email, okay?
Oh, okay. I didn't
so
think
now
you're
can,
get to it.
So now you are next on the list. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, as the candidates know, I'm chair of the MMS, the Monthly Monetary Support Program. And I think that has a tremendous potential to bring in more money to ACB, which we definitely need. What would you do to help broaden the support for the MMS program? Right now we have limited membership participation.
Okay.
What would you do to try to augment that?
Okay, thanks, Ron. Bye-bye. All right, first up on that is, if I haven't messed my cards up in all the confusion here, is Carla Rushable.
Well, Ron, as you know, this year I was able to successfully get a check mark put on the pre-registration form so people could indicate their interest in learning more about the MMS program. We also have it on the calendar and in the program for each afternoon so people can meet with representatives of the committee and learn more about it and hopefully sign up to support ACB or increase their contributions. We've done a great job since 2005 at the time Ron took over. The MMS program was at $16,000 income a year, and this year it's over $30,000. So it is growing, and I would do anything I could to help support that program and help to increase it, because I think that indicates grassroots support for an organization and says that the membership are buying in to what the organization does. So it's just a great program, and I hope to see it increase a double again.
Okay, Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, a couple of things, and Ron and I spoke during office hours a few weeks ago about a couple of notions. One, we absolutely must encourage our members to go outside of the circle, to go to family and friends and tell them about ACB and encourage them to join the MMS program and explain how vitally important MMS is to the future, to the present and future of ACB. Another proposal that I kind of like and I'd like to explore, I haven't looked at all the ramifications, but we have a life member program where people can join for life for $1,000. I want to look at the possibility of tying MMS membership to life membership for those people who might be interested.
Seconds.
They make a contribution on a monthly basis and see if once they reach that $1,000 mark, we don't want them to stop contributing, but to award them a life membership. As I say, I have to look at the ramifications, but it's another creative way.
Okay, thanks, Mitch. And Eric Blair.
Well, I think that those ideas are good, but I would like to diversify our areas of revenue, because when we continue to ask our friends and relatives to increase, there's a point that is reached. Therefore, we have areas of revenue that we need to look at and diversify. We have a global economy. We have to see how we can get into that area with what we have. Because it's not only the material that we have, but we have the technology that other areas outside of the United States do not have.
Yeah,
we have stores.
Go ahead. You have more seconds.
Yes, diversify our area of revenue, and this will put us in a solid economic or financial ground.
All right. We do have a call holding. Let's take one email question here from Pratik Patel. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'd like to know from each candidate about his slash her involvement in local slash state affiliates and the kind of work they have accomplished in their respective affiliates. What is the importance of state affiliates and and what has led you to work or not to work with your respective state ACB affiliate? Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, I have been active on the state and local level for 30 years approximately. I still attend on a regular basis our monthly chapter meeting of the San Gabriel Valley chapter, our local CCB affiliate. I'm currently first vice president of the California Council. I've been president. I've held board seats. I think the only thing I've not done was serve as treasurer somewhere along the line. But we have an affiliate in California with about 1,200 members. I am proud of our recruitment efforts that I've been involved with. In the early 80s, we started an employment loan fund. I wrote all of the grants that got our fund going, about $30,000 in grants, so that we can provide equipment for blind and visually impaired people to work. And I remain active on Finance and Budget Committee resolutions and a couple of other CCB committees.
All right. And Eric Blair?
Yes, I think that at a local level, I have been able to have a law passed in the state of New York known as the Blair Law. That was a lot of work, of research that I did for, not for myself, but for other people that could have been in the same position I was when my dog was attacked at a park. Pitbull. Presently, I teach English, Spanish to people that are not people that want and need to learn English, because in New York, a bilingual person is in a better position to obtain a higher pay when they apply for jobs. I have been involved with my organization. I have helped make a board in a taxi with a guide dog easier.
Okay, thank you. Carla Rushville.
Well, Marlena, I've been on the board of the Kentucky Council of the Blind in one capacity or another since 1974. I've been president three times. I've held all the other offices except secretary. I'm currently the treasurer, and I have been involved with the organization of local chapters to varying degrees. And today, of our four existing chapters around the state, four regional chapters, I've been involved with each one of them. Also, I have worked with the establishment of the Kentucky Youth Council of the Blind, and I think that your involvement on a state and local level is absolutely critical. If you're not involved on the state and local level, you don't know the issues that are facing the average person out there, and you just can't be a good leader if you don't know what the issues are that are facing individuals. And as I said in my opening statement, I've been there, done that, and I feel that I can speak to individual leaders and work with them.
Thank you. Let's bring our caller in. Hello, caller. What's your question?
Hello.
Yes.
Debbie Kazwar from Kentucky.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. My question is, if the candidates were elected, is there something that has not been done? What would that be that you would like to see happen?
Okay. Boy, that's a big question. So what you're asking, would you repeat the question so that I make sure that they're clear on it?
Sure. If they're elected, is there something that hasn't already been done in ACB that they would like to see happen?
All right. Thanks, Debbie. Okay. Carla, you're up first.
Oh, my goodness. I have a long list. Can't be done in a minute. But I would certainly like to see, obviously, if we have the money, I'd like to see more staff doing many more things. The development position, a separate advocacy position, I think would be fabulous. I would obviously like to see many, many additional things at convention. I'd like to see ways to cut costs at the convention so more people can come. I want to see the Braille Forum restored to 12 issues a year. And I'd like to also see many other public relations pieces produced so that ACB can truly be a household word in the United States and synonymous with the word blind and visually impaired. There are just so many things that the work is never done. It will never be done, and there will always be many, many things that we need to accomplish.
All right. And Eric?
Yes, with the help of our affiliates, I will try to reduce the level of unemployment for the blind through education, because today we have advantages in education, in terms of the technology that we have. I think health is one of the problems with poor health is due to, in many cases, due to lack of exercise. And as individual, we do not have access to fitness centers or YMCA where we could go and exercise. Therefore, I'm looking forward to have access to fitness, access to education, because if you are healthy, it's easier to find a job, and we must have the mechanism in place where people that want to go to a fitness center is not discriminated because that person have a dog.
In time. Or
okay, thank you, Eric. And Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, two things that ACB has never done. One is the director of development position. And we do have a vacant professional position in the ACB office, so we really need to explore the possibility of filling that position and making that position a full-time development person raising funds for ACB. The other thing is something we've done in California for at least 10 years. I don't remember when we started it, but our California connection is in Spanish. And we are seeing, not just in the Southwest, and in Florida, but all over the country, we're seeing more and more Hispanic blind people who are not part of the organization, who need to be brought into the organization.
Seconds.
And the way to start that is by having the Washington connection available, not just in English, but in Spanish. It's a heck of a recruitment tool. We need to reach the tens of thousands of blind and visually impaired Hispanic folks who seeing our message, hearing
okay.
our message.
Okay, thank you. We do have a caller. We'll take an email question, and then we'll take our caller from Becky Frankieberger. What steps will you take to build bridges on important access issues with the other main consumer organizations, in particular blindness organizations, and how can you build bridges to unify the blind as individuals? Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, I think our lines of communication are always open. I don't know that I can say that for the other consumer organization, but our communication lines, I think, are always open. We need to work more closely with AER and with the state agency, the National Organization of State Agencies, and the private agencies, because access, we kind of got the short end of the stick in the ADA, under the ADA. There's a lot more in the ADA for deaf and hard of hearing persons than there is for blind and visually impaired persons. And there are some efforts afloat to have some additional legislation. So we need to work with all the blindness organizations and agencies that are interested in increasing and enhancing access for blind and visually impaired people under the ADA and under all other laws, including IDEA.
Thank you. Carla Rusheville.
Marlena, ACB is a coalition-building organization. Gilbert McDaniel began the coalition concept years ago when he created ALL and when he worked to build the coalition with other disabilities. And over the years, I have worked, when I've been president of the Kentucky Council of the Blind, with the NSBK president on things like transportation and just major issues here where we all needed to pull together. I think that coalitions are absolutely critical if we're going to get where we need to be. However, if the other organization isn't interested in a bridge at any certain time, ACB is certainly not going to sit back under my leadership and twiddle its thumbs and do nothing. We need to be out there moving, getting things done, and we need to work with anyone and everyone who wants to work with us.
Thank you, Eric Blair.
Yes, we as blind people, we go to many different organizations or agencies for the blind. And when we go there and meet other people, then we discover that one person is NFB, another one is ACB, or any other, or whatever other organization might exist. However, we have in these of these states, we have what is known as affiliates, and the people in that affiliate must get involved with those agencies that provide services for the blind, because these things are local. Washington is Washington, and they are the overseer of
15 seconds.
All of these organizations. Therefore, we as affiliates have to be in touch with what's happening in our surrounding, in our community, with our neighbors. When we meet every month, that's the first order of business, to know what is happening there.
All right. Thank you, Eric. We have a call. Let's bring the caller in. Hello there, caller. What is your question, please?
Yes, this is Charlie Hodge, and I happen to be a candidate, but for first vice president. But I'd like to ask the candidates, I worked for 35 years in the federal government as a civil rights equal employment opportunity attorney, and ACB has always been the champion of civil rights for the disabled and for, in particular, for the blind. And I'm just wondering, Mitch touched on this in his last answer, but what can we do better to enhance our reputation and to make progress toward greater civil rights for the blind in federal and state legislation?
All right, Charlie, thank you. All right, Eric Blair, you're first up with that question.
Advocate without hesitation. We have been too, in a way, passive when it comes to dealing with certain issues. We have to advocate, educate. When we meet every month as an affiliate, train our members, reach out to the members and the people in your community, and once you educate people that they have rights because they're blind and they come to an agency that they do not have any rights, we will make progress. Therefore, I believe that at a local level, although we have Washington.
Okay. And I need to stop you there, Eric. Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, let me first acknowledge that I'm a past president of ACB Government Employees. In fact, I was the one who brought state and county and local government employees into ACB federal employees 12 or 15 years ago. We have a very strong disability rights law in California. It goes far beyond the ADA. And again, if in fact the ADA is opened on a national basis, and there's a lot of pros and cons to that issue, I think we need to advocate for restoring the ADA to the way it was originally intended, and perhaps even going beyond that. But on the advocacy side, because there are always two sides to advocacy, there's the legislative side and there's the legal side. We've got a lawsuit going against the Social Security Administration for failing to make their materials accessible to blind people. It's this kind of legal action that moves us along the road to civil rights for blind and visually impaired people.
All right. Thank you, Carla Rushville.
I think that our currency case is one of the greatest testimonies to advocacy that we have, and the fact that we're willing to stand up for advocacy for the things that touch the individual person. I also think that it's absolutely vital that ACB continue to advocate for the things that were sort of left out of the ADA simply because that we couldn't seem to get other blind people on board, things like pedestrian safety and so on. It's taken so long. We need to continue to work for those things, and it may not be easy. It hasn't been an easy road. It isn't because ACB hasn't been out there plugging along and trying. And we have made actually a lot of progress over the years.
15 seconds.
More progress is there to be made. And I think that we will see more cooperation as time goes on.
All right. Great. Thank you. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. You are listening to the Marlena program, heard this time each week on ACB Radio Mainstream. I am Marlena, and I'm honored to be joined tonight by the three ACB presidential candidates, who are Eric Blair from New York, Mitch Pomerantz from California, and Carla Rusheville from Kentucky. We'll be with you for maybe just about another 26 minutes, give or take, and we'd love to have your calls. Have another email question from Jeff Lucasina. Do the candidates have any workable solution to allow members who are unable to attend convention to vote on items on the floor? And how soon do you see something like this going to be put in place? And we'll start with, I'm shuffling my cards here, we will start with Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, I know Jeff is a member of GDUI, as am I. That issue was raised several years ago at a GDUI convention. It's certainly within the realm of possibility for those blind people who have computers. We certainly would be able, I think, to set up a system whereby blind and visually impaired persons with access to computers would be able to vote. My concern, because we still have an awful lot of members who don't have computer access, is how that would be done logistically by telephone, because you can only have a certain number of lines. We have fiscal constraints. But it's certainly something that, from the computer side, we could probably implement within a couple of years. I think the telephone side, for those who don't have computers, might be a little tougher to accomplish.
Thank you. Carla Rusheville.
I think that if voting is implemented, that is off the convention floor, I think it has to be implemented for everyone. I think it has to be a level playing field and available to anyone, whether they have a computer or not. I do believe that if we can manage to have voting for American Idol on the telephone, surely ACB can find a way. And we would definitely have some physical things to look at in that regard. But, you know, I've found in running the conventions for this being the 13th year I've worked on it, that usually where there's a will to do something, there is a way. This year we're bringing back the convention ear, which we all 3 years ago thought couldn't be done. We're going to make digital files available this year, and we thought that couldn't be done. So this can be done, too, if we want to do it badly enough.
Thank you. Eric Blair.
Yes, I think that would be a wonderful idea. However, at the set time, I think that I go back again to our local affiliates. Educate your membership. Make sure they're reading the Braille Forum. Discuss the issue. And when we send our delegates to Washington, to the convention, they already know that the delegate is going to represent their thinking. And until the time when we are able to call up or vote, or the convention is less expensive, we're going to have these people that are educated, and the issues that they have at the local level will be
15 seconds.
To the convention, and it will be as if you were there present because you have instructed your delegates that this is what we need or this is what we want, and that's the way to do it until we get into a position where we could do better.
Okay, thank you, Eric. And let's bring our caller in. Hello, caller. What is your question, please? Hello there.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling from Montana.
Yes, welcome.
And recently we had an affiliate organize, and it happens to be in the city where I reside. But what are the philosophical differences between the two organizations so that we could decide about which one to join?
Okay, so you would like the candidates to give you their view on the philosophical differences between the two national organizations?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Let's start with Carla.
When I was a child, some of my earliest memories are going to NFB conventions or into state activities. My parents are blind, and I have lots of aunts and uncles who were blind, and so being part of an organization was just the way it was. When I was a teenager, the ACB was born, and we became council members. The difference for me, and I saw it firsthand, is that ACB is a grassroots organization. We care about individual members. We are basically grassroots, local first, moving on up to the national organization. The NFB operates from basically the top down, and there are things that they require their affiliates to do, such as have a certain name, do certain things with their fiscal requirements, and so on. And ACB does not do those things. So there's a lot of differences,
and
we can't cover it in a minute.
Okay, thank you, Eric Blair.
Well, first, as an individual, I think a person has to look at both organizations and say to themselves, what is it that this organization offers that the other one is not? Because I could tell that person that just called that my organization, ACB, is the best one in the world. Then when he reads about another organization, he might decide to go and join that other organization. We do things different. I, as a blind person, I do not refuse assistance from a person to help me cross the street, although I'm capable of crossing the street independently. So the philosophies are different. Read up on both organizations and see
seconds.
How does that fit your thinking. Well, the main thing is that to do for the blind, join your local, go to both meetings, meet the people there, and see what are your interests.
Thank you, Eric. And Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, the first thing I would say to our caller in Montana would be to read People of Vision. It will set forth in great detail the differences, but the clearest indicator of the difference between ACB and NFB is that there are three candidates running for president that you've been listening to for the last hour and a half. I spent 5 years in NFB, and I don't think we had one contested election in that entire time. Our resolutions process takes parts of 4 days, and our entire Friday afternoon is taken up with debate and discussion of the resolutions, which are the policies of this organization. Resolutions committee, the resolutions vote at NFB conventions take 2 hours. We are a democracy. We are a grassroots democracy. We, as board members, listen to what the rank and file have to
Thank
say.
Thank you. All right. We have a caller. We'll do an email question, and then we'll pick up the caller. From Diane Healy. What do you think is the greatest challenge to the American Council of the Blind, and how do you plan to remedy that situation? Mitch Pomerantz?
Well, I think there are two. Internally, there is a lack of trust and confidence in the ACB leadership. I won't spend time discussing the reasons for it. There are lots of reasons for it. But I think that the first thing we need to do is open lines of communication and make it clear, not just the president, but every board member, that we care about what the rank-and-file members have to say. We will listen to you any and every time we can, and that we will actually take to heart and seriously consider and attempt to implement those ideas and those strategies for improving the organization. The external challenge is what's happening to rehabilitation.
15 seconds.
The other organization has taken over rehabilitation. We need a counterstrike. We need to make it clear that one-size-fits-all rehabilitation doesn't work in the blindness field just as it doesn't work in generic rehabilitation.
Thank you, Eric Blair.
If you're talking about the challenge that ACP is facing as the leadership in Washington, or as a whole, or as a leader of the blindness community, as a leader of the blindness community, the biggest challenge is that we are getting older and the younger have access to other venues. We have to attract the youth, and we could do that to sending our membership out into the school and letting them know that the organization exists. We must reach also, the public relations system
15
has
seconds.
To reach the commercial accessibility that exists. We cannot depend only on the Braille monitor and the blind people that are within that organization. We have to show the outside world that we
exist. Okay, thanks. Carla Rushville.
Well, Marlena, I think, as I said before, that communication is a key to overcoming so many challenges within ACB. As most people know, my phone and my email have been open to anyone who wishes to call virtually any time of day or the evening. For the last 4 or 5 months working on convention, I'm always so pleased to speak with anyone. And it doesn't matter what state you come from or where you are or what your way of walk of life is. If you want to call me, then I'm ready to talk to you. And I think that's important for the board and for all leaders, no matter what level they are on, to establish and to let people know that that is, in fact, the way
seconds.
That they not only feel, but they put that into action. There are many other issues outside of ACB that are main problems that face us, but I would say transportation is probably the largest, and we must address that if we're going to be successful.
And time.
Thank you very much, and let's bring our caller in. Thank you for waiting patiently, caller. What is your question?
Hi, Marlena.
Hi.
I would like to ask all of the candidates, particularly the ones who have been around for a long time and have been very subjected to this issue. We have, for many years now, been working diligently to get secret ballots. I would like their opinions on ways, on whether they feel that we need to improve the voting system within ACB and ways that they might propose to do that.
Thank you very
much. And with that, I'll hang up.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, let's see. Carla Rushville.
Well, we sort of touched on that already. We talked about the need to make it possible, or the chance of making it possible for everyone to vote, whether they're at convention or not. Our voting system is an interesting one and is always a subject of conversation. I don't have a specific solution because there are so many issues involved. We would not, for example, want to disenfranchise our special interest groups. We also would not want to place state affiliates in a situation where, for example, they would feel that they were not able to have a part or an equal part within
seconds.
The organization. So there are so many issues on that score. We do need to look at our voting system, but what the final shape of that would be, I don't think I would be in a position to say at this point, because that would be a membership decision.
And time.
Thank you. Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, we've had secret ballots in California since I joined the California Council of the Blind in the early 80s. The individual voters, the individual persons, can cast secret ballots, paper ballots, usually by tearing corners or not tearing corners. Each of our chapters, their votes are public, and I think they should be, and I think that's part of the democracy of ACB. I wouldn't want to see the state or special interest affiliate votes become secret. I think it's important to know how they vote. But I think the individuals, I know that because people have talked to me in particular states about feeling pressured if they stand up or if they don't stand up by people
seconds.
In their affiliate. So I think it's critical that we do have secret ballots for the individuals. We had a great test of an accessible voting machine a few years ago that never really went anywhere, but I'd like to see something like that looked at as well.
And time.
All right, Eric Blair.
Oh, yes. Secret ballot is kind of a difficult possibility. However, I think to work on it and think of it as something of the future is great. I, at the convention, I was, when votes were taken, and to be able to know how many votes was for this candidate and how many votes was the other candidate was very helpful for me to be able to make other decisions in the future. And if we're talking about machines such as the general elections out in, for sighted people, it takes, as I said, it's wonderful to have that idea, to work on it, and
15 seconds.
In the future, perhaps we will have, but to eliminate the voting where I know that if 10 votes are going for A and 5 votes
and time.
Are going for B.
Okay, thank you, Eric. We do have another call, but we all have our last email question from Rick Morin. And the question is, with the great advances in adaptive technology, there should be few barriers to employment of blind youth entering the job market. What programs will you institute as president to ensure that all qualified graduating blind youth find suitable employment in the public and private sector, and where is this in your set of priorities? Eric Blair?
Well, employment is one of my most concerns. We have unions in every state, local union, as well as national union, and for our labor union, I will let them know that these people have education. They have been trained in school. Also, from the school itself, the union will know that we are training people for the work, for the labor market. We cannot keep it a secret that blind people are willing and able
seconds.
To do work. Today, a lot of the education is not the priority among many blind people. Therefore, we have to encourage them more to school.
And time.
And
thank you. Carla Rescheville.
Well, unfortunately, I think that it's very difficult. In fact, I know it's very difficult for some blind people who are trained and very adequately so to find work because they can't get there. If you can't get to a job, all the training isn't going to help you at all. Transportation is an issue that we must address, and we must address it as an entire blind community. People who live in areas that have no paratransit or no transit authority and no taxi service are going to have a pretty difficult job getting out of those hollers and branches to get to work. Also, I've participated in EEOC cases in the past, and also was involved in the first Section 503 case that was filed under the Rehab Act back in the 1970s, and those were successful. And they were successful because blind people were able to get to work. They were able to show they could do the job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, as the chair since its inception of the Employment Issues Committee, obviously this is one of my priorities. We need to educate employers that hiring blind and visually impaired people is not scary. It doesn't have to be expensive. It's something that absolutely can and must happen, and we need to expand the efforts to promote blind and visually impaired people in the workplace and to employers. We need to develop more communication with employers in both the public and the private sector. Currently, I am working with our attorneys within ACB. I can't talk about details. I'm not going to name the organization, but there is an organization that provides online jobs for blind people, except that their software is not accessible. We are in negotiations and putting pressure on this company to make their software accessible so blind people who live in those hollers
Thank you.
Can go to work.
All right. And we'll bring in our last caller of the evening. This will be the last caller. Hello, caller. What is your question?
Yes. Good evening, Marlena.
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to ask the candidates the following question. Is there going to be any ongoing effort at the convention to address the fact that adaptive assistive technology is very unaffordable to many blind people who may be on fixed incomes and who may need to get the technology in order to get employment? And also, don't we as a consumer organization have responsibility, as well as the companies who serve us, who produce these products, to make it more affordable? I mean, if GW Micro can
do it,
has a lot less resources.
Okay. We got your question.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Sorry to be so abrupt, folks. You know that's not usually my style, but we do need to move on. And the first answer will go to Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch?
In recognition of that very issue, in 1983, the Committee on Employment Assistance, which I chaired for the California Council of the Blind, embarked on an employment loan program where people who had offers of employment could get low-interest loans to purchase the adaptive technology that they needed in order to go to work. That program has been expanded over the years for people who start their own businesses and who otherwise need the equipment in order to work or even prepare for work through the education process. It is absolutely a priority. The state of Washington followed up. It took our lead in California. Their program has expanded considerably. And we certainly ought to take a look at this on a national level. There's no reason. I wrote the first grants to get this underway. Got a lot of smart people in the organization. We really could look at this as a national initiative.
Good time.
Thank you. Carla Rushville.
In Kentucky, while we certainly are not able to make sure that every single person has every piece of equipment that they would like, there are a number of groups and foundations, et cetera, that are working together to see that people obtain adaptive technology. And whether it be for employment or whether it be for other types of pursuits that they have in their homes and whatever. These kinds of cooperative efforts are, there are pockets of success around the country, and we need to expand those models and use them to help create a national model that will make it possible for blind and visually impaired people to have access to the things that only a few have access to at this time.
Thank you. Eric Blair.
Yes, I think this issue has not been sufficiently addressed. I think that I will create a committee, a public relation committee, to deal with these corporates that are producing these adapted equipment to let them know that everyone out there is not sighted, that the blind need this to be able to make their livelihood, and they have a responsibility to make these adaptive technology more inexpensive to people that are at a lower
15
income.
Seconds.
We have to educate our membership at the local level. Everyone should be educated and willing to advocate for the issues that we are affected with.
Thank you. All right. I'd like to give each candidate now 1 minute to address anything they'd like to address or leave folks with the statement that you might like to leave folks thinking about. So, Mitch Pomerantz, why don't you go first?
Thank you. I believe that the president of the American Council of the Blind must be someone that the membership trusts and believes in and knows is fair and objective and has integrity and will listen to everyone, not just the board, but affiliate presidents and the rank-and-file membership. And that is what I would bring to the position of ACB president. I don't know that I'll have much time for doing much else, but that is my commitment to this organization, because that's how we restore the faith and the confidence and the loyalty of our members once they truly believe and know that their president is one of them and believes in what they have to say and will listen and will act to the best of his ability to fulfill the wishes of the membership. And that's what I bring to ACB.
Thank you. Carla Rescheville.
I have been a member of ACB for a long time. I've been active on my local, state, and national level. I have been to family court with blind people who need to go there. I've worked on transportation issues, employment issues, and most importantly, I've answered my phone whenever anybody has called. I've done my best to always return messages every once in a while. One might get missed, but very seldom. I answer my email right away. And I believe that I have a proven track record of being available and accessible to anyone who wishes to call and talk to me. It makes no difference to me what the philosophies of that person are. It makes no difference to me who they are, where they are. They are a part of this organization, and therefore, they and I are partners in ACB. And I think our next president needs to be someone who wants to have a partnership with a membership.
Thank you. Eric Blair, we started with you. We'll wrap up with you.
Thank you, Marlena, your listeners, candidates, and ACB for the opportunity to be able to participate in this discussion. As president, I will create a short and long-range plan to meet with our affiliates, because affiliates are the base of the organization, and unemployment, health, accessibility, these are the issues that we are faced with. We have legislative, we have legal, but all these things are fine as they are up a different level. But if the affiliates are not doing the part, we must think as one
15 seconds.
Group, one tree with the branches of the tree, not a tree with different branches. And once our ideas are combined and we advocate without hesitation, ACB is the organization that will globalize the problem and resolve the problem of the blind throughout the world.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Before I let you all off the hook here, which I'm going to do momentarily, first of all, you've all been wonderful. We have a little tradition on the Marlena program. If I can reach it over all my papers, that you get a ring of the bell when you do things above and beyond the call of duty, and I think the three of you have in giving up your Sunday night to do this. Are you able to let listeners know in which hotel you will be staying in the event that folks want to track you down and ask you more questions? We'll start with Eric.
Well, the second hotel is the one that I intend to be in.
Okay, the Millennium. All right. And Mitch?
Donna and I are staying at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and we welcome calls.
All right, and
at any time.
All right, and Carla.
And I will be at the Hyatt, and I welcome calls. I would encourage people to use my cell phone number or my room number.
All right, great. And, well, I didn't clear this ahead of time, so I'm not going to ask you guys to give out your cell phone numbers. If you want,
I'm happy to do. All right. I'm happy to give mine.
All right, Eric, do you have a cell phone you're happy to give out?
No.
Okay.
I do not have a cell phone.
All right, but you will. Okay, but you will be at the Millennium, right?
Advocacy.
No. Right, but you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and Mitch, your cell phone number.
626-372-5150.
And Carla, your cell phone number?
502-303-7042.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a wonderful program. It has been an honor to have had you all aboard, and thanks again for giving of your time. I'm going to disconnect the candidates now, and good luck to each and every one of you. Thanks so much. I'm Marlena. Wow, that was a whirlwind show. We will not be on next week. We will be at the opening session of the ACB National Convention. And the following week, we will run a rerun of one of the Marlena programs. Wow, I hope everyone felt that this was useful to them. It's the first time that I have ever moderated anything quite like this. And so I hope you found that my job was done acceptably. Would love your comments. You can reach me at Marlena, M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. I, too, will be at convention next week, and my cell phone number is 206-979-3224. I look forward to hearing from all of you who will be at convention, and if you're not going to convention, remember, keep it right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, because you will be hearing the convention live from gavel to gavel. So, all the best. Thank you so much for being with us. I always appreciate that you allow me to enter into your living room each Sunday night. Travel safe, and see you in a couple of weeks. We'll be right back.